Well, last Sunday morning, we continued thinking about a lesson that we had started the week before that, and so I put off the series that we've been working on this year on the blessings for the bride until today. And this will be the last one in this series. We've looked at 12 different things in which the bride is blessed, and taking primarily our lessons from the book of Ephesians. And we've started each lesson with this in mind. You know, suppose that you walk into a wedding and there is a table for the gifts for the bride. And everyone knows those gifts are for the bride and the bride alone. And suppose somebody came up to that table and started saying, "I'm going to take this and I'm going to take that." We would all say, "No, stop, wait. That's not for you. That's for the bride. Those are blessings for the bride alone." And the Bible is saying there's some blessings for Christ's bride that are reserved for her alone. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And that's the whole premise behind the book of Ephesians. Here are great blessings for the bride. And today we're going to look at the last lesson in this series. And this is a call to arms. And you may think, well, what? The bride is called to arms? Yes, because the bride is blessed with the whole armor of God. And it's as if, you know, here we are in the book of Ephesians going through and looking at all these great spiritual blessings that God has given us. The blessing of forgiveness, the blessing of acceptance, the blessing of Christ, the blessing of fellowship in the church, the blessing of unity, all of these great blessings. And then at the end of the book, Paul says, "And you've been blessed with the whole armor of God." And now the call is, we have these great blessings, but they're not blessings that we're just to sit around and gawk at. We are to take these blessings and engage in the great battle that is before us. Blessings for the bride. And now the bride takes the blessings and she begins to apply them. She begins to use them. She goes out and she fights that great spiritual battle that is before her. And God has blessed us with the whole armor of God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 13. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." God has provided us, He's equipped us with everything that we need to go out and fight this great battle. And each one of us is in this battle. Each one of us is engaged in a battle every single day. And Paul tells Timothy to wage the good warfare. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, and fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, we all have a war to wage. We all have a battle to fight. And we are involved in this every day. 2 Timothy 2 and verses 3 and 4 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as," what? "A good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And you see, that's what we are. We are soldiers of Christ. God has equipped us with all these spiritual blessings and with the whole armor so that we can go out and fight this great battle. The word armor, as it's used here in this text, refers to the hoplite. Maybe that's not a word that you're very familiar with, but it's the Greek word hoplites, which was the Greek heavily armed soldier. They had different kinds of soldiers in the ancient world, just like we have different kinds of soldiers today. They had light soldiers who were equipped with long javelin-type spears and were dressed in light clothing so that they could move quick and move around. And then they had the hoplite. And the hoplite was the heavily armed soldier. He had all of the armor and all of the equipment. And his purpose was to do close combat. You see, that's what God has equipped us for, to be engaged in close combat. Because the war that we fight, the war that you fight, the war that I fight, it's my war, it's your war. We are engaged in close combat on a daily basis, and God wants us to have this armor on so we can do that. And so Christians have this battle to fight, and with God's help, they can. So the bride is blessed with the whole armor of God so that she may, first of all, stand and be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, God is powerful, but He is only as powerful as we permit Him to be within our lives. And so that means that we bring something to this fight. We bring the willingness and the ability to go out there and engage. God is on our side and He will fight for us, just like He was with Joshua. And He told Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Be strong and very courageous, God told Joshua. He wants us to get out there and fight this battle. Put on the whole armor of God. And what does that mean? That means we've got to be actively engaged in this battle. The armor is for us to put on. The armor isn't there to act as a trophy. The armor isn't there to just look pretty. It is a tool that we need to use in order to fight the battle that we fight each and every day. And it is up to us to take up the whole armor of God. And that means that we've got to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. When we take up the whole armor of God, when we do what God wants us to do, what happens? We will stand. We will be able to stand in the battle. We will be able to go forward. We will be equipped. We will have done all. And that's what Paul says, and having done all, to stand. Think about Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do good for His good pleasure. So we've got to be engaged in this battle. We've got to take up the whole armor. We've got to equip it so that we can go out and fight. And when we engage in this fight, God works through us and He engages with us. And so this is the battle that we must participate in. Take up the whole armor of God so that we can stand and be strong. But then secondly, we've got to engage in this battle with the enemy. And that's what we have here in verses 11 through 13. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against who? Against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our enemies are not carnal, they are spiritual. And we've got to fight this good fight against the devil, who is the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant. Those are martial words, words of warfare. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Resist him, the Bible says. We've got to oppose the devil. We've got to resist the devil. We've got to fight the devil each and every day. We wrestle with his various forces. Paul describes them here as principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness. We, on a very personal level, wrestle with these forces. They come to us in the form of thoughts and feelings and other influences from our world. People around us in our world who are being controlled by Satan and the devil. And we've got to be aware that these things are happening in this world. Now, Jesus has overcome the devil. In Colossians 2 and verse 15, it says that he had disarmed principalities and power, that he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. And you see, this shows us that this war can be fought and won because Jesus triumphed. He overcame, and through him, we can triumph also and overcome. And so we wrestle against these evil forces that are in the world today. And just as Jesus marched in triumph, we can march in triumph. You know, triumph was a public spectacle. When a Roman general would conquer an enemy, he would bring back all the spoils to Rome. And if the Senate permitted him, he would be able to march in triumph through the streets of Rome. And he would stand atop all of the goods that he brought back. And they would have a great parade, and this parade would feature the general who conquered the foreign enemy. And then as he was going along in this triumph, there would be a servant, a slave, standing next to him in his ear, saying this, remember, you are but a man. This triumph was one that Roman generals experienced, but Jesus' triumph was a greater triumph than their triumphs. They triumphed over physical things, over carnal things. Jesus triumphed over the spiritual hosts of wickedness. He triumphed over sin and Satan. He conquered that which even the Roman generals could not conquer. And therefore, we must stand as Jesus stood. We are in a spiritual battle. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down, listen to this, arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, unto the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What are the things that we fight with on a daily basis? It's not a carnal warfare. We're not taking up swords to go after other people. We're fighting thoughts. We're fighting arguments that present themselves to us and get lodged in our minds. And we have to cast down those arguments and those high thoughts and the things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We've got to fight that spiritual battle in our mind and bring ourselves into obedience to Christ. There's the battle that we fight. That is our battle today. And so the bride is blessed with the whole armor of God to stand and be strong and to engage in battle with the enemy. But then third, she is blessed to protect and to be protected. Look at verses 14 through 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and for all the saints. The whole armor of God, we've got to take it up. We've got to put it on. What is it? First of all, just wanted to point out what these things are, that the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth here. We're going to look at this girdle of truth. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The gospel is the truth, and it gives us the ability to filter out harmful things, false doctrine, false teaching that will damage us and condemn us and destroy us. And so we've got to have the truth. When we know the truth will make us free. You notice this girdle is very, this armor, it's kind of light because the legs need to be able to move in battle. And they need to be able to move around. And so freedom gives us, or the truth gives us the freedom to do that. The girdle of truth. We have also the breastplate of righteousness. And this breastplate was usually made out of bronze. And a person could put it on his chest to protect the vital organs, the heart, the lungs. And that was worn so that there wouldn't be an easy penetration into the vital area of the organs of the body. But the breastplate is the breastplate of righteousness. And when we practice righteousness, it prevents the enemy from being able to hit those vital organs. 1 John 3 and verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This gives us a firm foundation and also helps us to move. Sometimes there were bronze foot fittings, as you can see in this photo, and then there were what were called greaves, which were leggings that protected the lower legs against injury. This is shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Think about what Timothy did when he studied the Word of God and from childhood knew the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. We've got to prepare our hearts and our minds with the gospel. Put those gospel shoes on, so to speak. We've got the shield of faith. This was also a large bronze instrument. And that blocks all the fiery darts of the wicked one, the Bible says. These shields were often hid behind when arrows were coming at them and could protect the head and the chest from these arrows that were dropping down. And then we take up the shield of faith. And faith, of course, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 1 through 2. And when we have that faith going on in our life, it protects us. It shields us. Why? Because we have something to hold on to. We have the helmet of salvation, the bronze helmet wrapped all the way around the head because the head needed to be protected. And so this helmet of salvation wraps all the way around us to protect us. Think about Romans 8, 38 through 39, where Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Christian has salvation, and that protects us. Salvation. And we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This particular sword that Paul describes here is a Machaira, I think, or Machairos. And it is a two-edged sword, and it is a sword that is able to be wielded quickly in battle. It's not a really heavy sword, but it's light. And you're able to then take it and use it effectively. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And so the sword of the Spirit, it's the weapon that cuts down the enemy. The word of God, it convicts and it converts. Jesus used this sword. Revelation 1 verse 16 says that he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And so these things are given to the bride so that she may win the war. And we need to win our war, our particular war. There is a great spiritual battle happening. You know, the book of Revelation describes this battle. We'll talk about this in a minute. But the battle is happening, and Christ has won the overall war. And now we're kind of in a cleanup stage. And what is the cleanup stage? It's you and me. It's us as individuals. But this armor is to be worn because armor is worn to fight. That's why it's there, to engage in battle. Soldiers do not don armor to play. Christianity is not a religion of entertainment. It's a religion of fighting and battling for one's spiritual welfare. And so we take up this armor so that we can fight this battle and so that we can win this battle. Taking off the armor is a sure path to defeat. Now the war has already been won. Christ has won the overall war. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." And so Jesus has taken out the enemy's general. And where does that leave us today? We've got to fight our own battles. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Remember Revelation 12. In that chapter, Revelation 12, we see the story of Satan trying to win this war. And he tries to fight against God's people and he fails. He tries to fight against the Messiah and he fails. He tries to fight against the host of heaven and he fails. And he is cast down to the earth. And then it says in the book of Revelation, "Woe unto them who are on the earth." Why? Because Satan is now here fighting on the earth. He's fighting for you and he's fighting for me. But we must not let him win. Satan could not defeat the Messiah. He could not defeat the angels. He could not defeat God's people, the church. But he could still defeat you personally. And that's why we've got to fight. We are engaged in a warfare for our spiritual benefit. And that is something that we must continue to take up each and every day. The bride is blessed with the whole armor of God, that she may be able to stand and be strong, that she may engage in battle with the enemy, that she may protect and be protected, and that she may win her war. How are you doing with the whole armor of God today? I hope we can say that each one of us is winning our war and that we can go forward in this battle and fight for the Lord. But maybe you've had a difficult time of it. Have you set your shield down? Have you taken off your breastplate? Does your sword need sharpening? Maybe this morning you need some help with that. And if that's the case, we'll be happy to pray with you and for you. Or maybe you haven't even taken up this whole arm. Maybe you're fighting on the side of the enemy and you don't even know it. What can you do about that? Change sides. Start fighting for the Lord. Enlist in His army today. How? By hearing His word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You come out of Satan's army and you come into Christ's army by identifying with Christ in baptism. And when you arise to walk in newness of life, you put on this whole Christian armor. You're blessed with all the blessings of the heavenly places in Christ so that you can put on the whole Christian armor and fight. The blessings of the bride. We are greatly blessed. Now let's take these blessings and go out and fight for the Lord. Maybe this morning you need to begin that battle. Maybe you need help with your battle. If you have a need this morning, we invite you to come and make it known while together we stand and while we sing.